Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. You have been waiting patiently, lined up by the radio, for this conversation. It is time now to talk about how we stand in line. I'm joined by radio producer Benjamin Walker. He's got a new documentary for the BBC on the way queuing is changing in the U.S. for one more and more scenarios in which you pay to get to the front of the line. Ben, welcome back to WNYC, your old stomping grounds, in fact.
Hey, Mike Peskin. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited. And listeners, we don't have that much time for calls, but give us a call right now if you have a horror story about standing in line or perhaps one of these funny cross-cultural stories. We're at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. What do you think about people paying to get in the front of the line? 212-433-9692. So I've said it a couple times. This is the big trend, paying to stand at a better place in line.
Yeah, what I wanted to do with this documentary... Well, it started off trying to figure out, is there such thing as an American queue? You know, because every country, every culture does it differently. And I met this guy at MIT who actually calls himself Dr. Q. Uh-huh. And I set out to try to figure out what it is in America. And I found this new trend where we're starting to see what, for lack of a better word, I call the priority queue, which is people getting the opportunity to buy their way to the front of the line. And you see this in amusement parks. You see this... on highways, and you see this in community colleges. Those are the three big stories. Airports, of course. But all the ones I looked at were actually about a year old. The big one for me, I guess, would be the hot lanes in Atlanta.
And what's the hot lanes?
So hot lanes are popping up all over the country, but in Atlanta, with a city, lots of sprawl, lots of congestion, they took out the HOV lane.
Right.
So they got rid of the HOV lane and they replaced it with a hot lane, which is kind of like a congestion pricing. So think of the Easy Pass. They have it's called the Peach Pass there. And the way it works is that if you can afford to pay, you are guaranteed access. You have the choice of a lane where you can go fast.
All right. We actually have a clip of a Georgia State senator who was quoted in your BBC doc.
Kurt Thompson.
Here's Kurt.
It's not about improving the non-attainment issue about our carbon dioxide emissions from our cars. It's just about giving options to people who can afford it. So what it does is it creates this, what I call the politics of envy, because it further separates us between the haves and the have-nots. We never had, our founding fathers never had this idea of, I got mine, now you go get yours.
Actually, Thomas Jefferson was very clear on HOV pricing. Okay, so isn't this or is this, there's no societal benefit to, is this the same as variable rate pricing where it costs maybe different amounts at different times to take a bridge and we're trying to direct society to use the bridge in off hours? It's nothing like that.
Not in this case, I think, and this is what's specifically interesting about the Atlanta situation, is that these lanes were already paid for with taxpayer dollars. So in a way, it's really benefiting the few. But what's interesting here, Mike, is that what's unique here is that it's making the service, basic service, worse. In other words, all those carpool drivers that were in the HOV lane were pushed into the general traffic.
Right.
So it's benefiting a few who can afford it, but the real thing is that it's making basic service worse. And that's what I felt is unique about America. Maybe in other countries, like in France, they have toll roads where you can speed your way, but it's not making the basic service worse. And that's what I think is happening here in America.
Well, you mentioned Dr. Q. This is not the James Bond friend Q.
No.
It's Dr. Q, MIT professor. And he has an interesting story about lining up for bathrooms in Hong Kong.
They were lined up in front of the sinks as the door opens. The one waiting longest would go in. And then a woman comes in that no one had recognized before and goes right to stall number three and parks herself there and stands there as if she owns that door. When that door opens, she's going to go in. Well, a near riot broke out. It turns out that the woman who came in, the stranger, was from mainland China. In mainland China, the tradition in the women's room is you have separate lines in front of each of the stall doors. And in Hong Kong, with first come, first serve from British tradition, you line up as a single queue in front of the sinks.
Huh. Okay. So I would assume, and I've been online in different countries and fought with the idea of being online in places like Rome. But now that we're becoming this big, uniculture, is there one dominant way of standing in or online?
No. There really is no such thing
as
a universal queue. But, interestingly enough, the idea to do this documentary came to me when I was in London. It was at a show, Hockney show at the National Gallery, and they had a priority queue. And the regular queue was so long. It was like an hour and a half. So you could pay like £5 extra to jump the line, and hardly anyone was using it.
Because it conflicted with the British sense of fairness?
Yeah, I guess perhaps there was just a little more... no one wanted to take that step to do that. Whereas here in America, it seems that, at the amusement parks I went to, you're seeing this idea of the front of the line pass, or the flash pass is the one I looked at when I went to Six Flags. The idea of paying double the entrance fee to be able to jump the line.
Do they do it where everyone who's waiting on the regular line sees you? Is there that shame factor, or do they have an entirely separate entrance?
That's what was great about going to the water park, because at the amusement parks, they actually, like the roller coasters, they'll board the special people in the exits.
The better
so they
people,
don't,
let's be fair.
But at the water park, you can't do that because you're coming down a slide. So they've actually had to figure a way to sort of bring the people with the gold wristbands in front. And you could see it. I could see, there's a group of teenage girls who had the gold wristbands and a group that didn't. And it seemed that there's just no way that this is degrading the base experience where they used to be able to all be there together. It's just another reminder of the haves and the have-nots.
Yeah, I was at Rye Playland, which has been apparently taken over by Westchester government, and I don't think they have that buy a special pass line, but they do have complaints in every line I was on that this guy is line hopping, or you didn't tell me I needed that wristband, now I got to go to the back of the lane. You know, amusement parks, I had always heard, or maybe I read, that Walt Disney, if he didn't invent it, he popularized the snaking around line to make you think that you're actually closer than where you are. Does Disney get credit for that correctly?
No. Disney has done some amazing things with queuing, and Dr. Q at MIT says that, Disney, they call them the Imagineers, the folks that are responsible for making the waiting experience better. But this is a new trend where we're offering some customers the ability to pay extra to jump the line. And who wouldn't? If you're a busy parent, you have your kids, and if you can afford it, why wouldn't you want to do that? You can see that would be a very, very popular product.
Or you could buy the services. This is not with lines, but I know you could buy the services of park employees on their off time, sort of under the table, and they'll take you around. They know all the secret places. Let's go to Tom from the Upper West Side. Hello, Tom.
I wanted to say that I think that there's an erroneous jump on the HOV line. The point of the HOV line is to have fewer vehicles on the highway altogether, not to help some people go faster. So having fewer vehicles helps everybody. It speeds all the traffic, even for the guy who's driving by himself.
Yeah, but this is not an HOV line. They're taking out the HOV lanes. That's the thing. They're replacing the HOV lanes with hot lanes.
So and how are they dividing that?
They're basically you have to pay to ride in the lane. In other words, all those carpoolers that have been trained to drive more than one person, they're no longer can use it unless they pay.
Now is there a divider for that lane or something? Or how do I stay out of that lane?
Yeah, you in other words, it used to be the HOV lane. They're taking out the HOV lanes. I mean, in some instances across the country.
By the way, did they call it the hot lane and thanks call just because they had to repaint one letter in HOV?
I think so. It was about saving some money, Mike. Yeah. Yes.
Do you think that we're reconceptualizing our way of standing in line because we do so much less of it? Our grandparents, there was no online, meaning the internet. There was very little call and get parked in some sort of phone bank. You would do a lot more standing in line, in the bank, in-person transactions. You would go to the post office. You think that's part of it?
I do. In fact, I think that as we've moved to more automated systems, all those are priority queues. When you call a bank, when you enter your account number, they immediately know what kind of customer you are, where you fit in their food chain. And if you're one of their priority customers, they're going to bump you up to the top. We just don't see that. And I think what we're starting to see in the physical world are these processes being implemented in real space. In other words, the idea of the priority queue has become so normalized behind the scenes, now we're moving it in front of everyone.
Does Dr. Q have sort of a best practices? By the way, is he the guy they consult about the best way to board a plane?
Yeah, there are a few experts. We always hear from him.
Yeah. So does he – what are his great ideas and what does he think the current trends that are terrible?
Well, You know, I think when it comes to priority queuing, I think, you know, many theorists like himself are, you know, there's a lot of research being looked at in how we waiting in line can sort of police the line on our own without sort of queue managers. In other words, we know that when that woman comes to you and says, oh, I have one thing, just one question to get to the front of the line, we let her in. Or if the person says, I'm going to miss my plane if you don't let me in, we're willing to do that because we know we might be in that situation. And perhaps using like gaming theory and sort of like seeing how you could sort of broaden that out. But it's hard to test because there's the propensity for violence. it's a common experience that if you jump the queue, you know, violence might break out. So it's hard to sick their graduate students and test these kinds of theories.
I will say this. I have argued to police that when there's a queue to get off at an exit, and sometimes there's only one lane, if you could kind of sneak in on the second lane, it might not seem right. But the experts do say that eases traffic a little bit. This comes up a lot on the FDR South trying to get to the Brooklyn Bridge.
I don't think you can really go to queue experts and ask them, how do I get to the front of the line?
John from Bradley Beach. Hello, John.
Hey, Mike. Thanks. And you may have just touched on this, but I had a question about driving. It annoys me. Say you have two lanes, it's going down to one lane. There's been plenty of notice about it, but somebody still cruises up in the lane that's disappearing.
That would be me. That would be me in your scenario.
Okay, has to stop. And so, of course, we're all sitting in a line in a queue of traffic, but it's being caused by these people that didn't get over when they should have just got over. If everybody got over when they should have, there'd be no line. And so my question for your guest is, does that happen in other countries?
You know, it's funny. If you go on YouTube and you start looking at queuing videos, which is, oh, man, you're going to spend hours and hours.
There's as many
driving,
as the cat videos.
You know what? Yeah. It's even in Asia, like the driving videos are the ones that come up right away. Like this is a topic that drives people crazy all over the world.
My producer tells me that he knows a cop who refers to that as a real Ivy League maneuver.
Yeah. Ooh.
Elizabeth from Brooklyn. Elizabeth, what's the longest line you've ever waited on?
Hi, my line horror story is when I went to a equity audition for Godspell. I was non-equity at the time. I got there 5:30 in the morning, so excited about this. They said they wanted young, fresh faces. I was, you know, still in college. It just started snowing when I got there, but I was the first person. Building wasn't even open yet. I made up a list, put my name at the top of it. People started coming. It was finally 8:00 before we were even let into the building. And around 9:00, right around when the monitor was supposed to come, I had to go to the bathroom so bad. So I went to the bathroom, came back, and the moderator had come in and said, well, actually, we're not going to honor this list. So whatever line you're in now, you have to sign up on the official list.
Yeah.
Thankfully, they still let me sign up first. The people who were in the line, they were so nice. And then we waited for hours and hours looking at all these 50, 60-year-old equity members going in audition.
But I got to ask you, we have so little time. Did you get the part?
Yeah.
Did you get the part?
No, I didn't get seen. I never even got seen.
Not even
I waited the entire day.
Well, thanks.
I fell asleep at one point, and the guy was like, this is a place of business. You have to wake up. And
thanks. Thanks, Elizabeth. That line took day by day. This was nice chatting with you, Benjamin Walker. And do you still have your podcast?
I do.
It is called
Too Much Information. But you can find this BBC documentary. There's a link on the Brian Lehrer page.
Link on the Brian Lehrer page.
In America.
That's Benjamin Walker, radio great. The man knows how to use sound and he likes lines. I'm Mike Pesca in for Brian Lehrer. This is a little Fugazi's Waiting Room, in case you were playing Name That Tune. Thanks very much, Brian. Back tomorrow.